see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book.
Testing.
It's going by the book.
Testing. Welcome to Friday Bible study for the Watchman for Jesus program. Family's going to get hot tonight. It's going to get hot. It's chilly outside. It's going to get hot here tonight. Family, I found some things out that I find some every day when you do research. Some things I want to pass on to you. About tonight, we're going to talk about generational curses. And I got some things for you tonight. Something I just learned a little while ago about this, about how deep it went. Then I remind myself that Satan is prince of this world. You know, we go to a certain level. We talk about politics, whatever it is, something. Everybody's got a trigger. You got a trigger of some kind where it depends what level of brainwashing we've been through. You got a trigger. So you'll talk about something about politics and you'll move on. And then you mention, and the Republicans, and you're a hardcore, you know, walk 'em, talk 'em Republican type. That's where you shut off. I was talking to someone at a bookstore recently about all this Illuminati, and the person was into it, and they were visiting and all this at a bookstore. Really good conversation for about 30 minutes. The people around was listening and all that until I got to the point where I said, oh, and it's not only the Baptists but also the Mormons. Oh, wait a minute. I said, what? I'm a Mormon. It shut off. Is it? We reach a point to where we don't go any further because we are of that ethnic group, we're of that religion, we're of that political party, we're of that family, we got that name, we got something that makes us stop. I don't want to hear no more. For whatever reason, you know, for that trigger. That's what stops people. It's ingrained in us since the day we're born. Somewhere there, and until you pull yourself completely out of the matrix, entirely out of the matrix, you'll stop yourself. So you can talk about the new world order, the politics, everything else going on, the science, the arts, and all this, until you get to the religion part, supernatural, stop. Well, I don't believe in supernatural. I'm atheist or whatever. You're done. That's conversation's over. And they really haven't even got to the part that's really controlling this new world order. You see, and you have a stopping point. I personally don't see any stopping points. I've gotten my place where there's no stopping point. I talk about everything, bring up everything, just bring it all out, man. I mean everything. Even myself, bring it out, man. Whatever. Just bring it on out. You know, we take things personal. We got pride. Stop. See, you got that trigger that you don't want to learn anymore. You see, that's where we are. And the idea is that Satan's prince of this world. The people aren't understanding that. You see, Jesus will be king after Armageddon. But right now, Satan is prince of the air. But you have an advocate now because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, rose, and is coming back. Because of that, he then is there at your calling. When you want to come back or you want to take him as your savior, he's there. But he's not on the throne here on earth. Yet. If I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I got a lot to talk about tonight. Generational curses. And we're going as deep as I can go before the time we got. And I'll probably get to the point that what I learned tonight is it's wild how deep this goes. How deep it goes. Lord, thank you tonight for coming for bringing us together, Lord, giving us our network. We thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to do our Bible studies. Father, and share among each other, share among our families, do our own studies. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to read your holy word in the King James Bible. Thank you, Lord, we're praying for those around us. We're praying for an awakening. We're praying for an outpouring of wisdom and, Father, inspiration from the Holy Spirit to guide us in our studies. And, Father, to extend our studies to others, give us those divine appointments that we can witness to others about Jesus Christ. Father, give us wisdom, discernment, to see through the deception. That, Father, that you'll use us in your service when the time has come. That, Father, we have to speak out in these end times that's going to be approaching. Father, we pray for healing of those children and adults and, Father, those that are into the psychotropic drugs and the control of them. Father, we pray for the opportunities, times to witness to others before this day begins, for the tribulations began, that, Lord, that whenever they happen, that, Lord, that you'll, in the meantime, will give us opportunities to witness to others. Father, guide us in our own personal studies, Lord, as we learn more and more each day about you. And Father, cover us with the blood of Jesus to protect us from any outside interference and interruptions, that, Lord, we'll be able to complete studies and understand more and more how to defeat the spiritual realm through your name, Jesus Christ. All these things we pray, Lord. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, spiritual warfare is not being taught except when you want to go to a seminar or they present something on DVD or CD or something. It needs to be a regular taught subject in the school, in the churches, on a regular basis. It should be the order of the day. It should be the main drive is to teach us how to fight. In the spiritual realm, because that is where the battle is. You're under surveillance 24/7. Supernatural surveillance. Matthew 6:18, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You know, there's cameras rigged up around the United States and places and businesses, and for good reason, on many occasions. The STAVE program and all that. And of course, it's being used for other reasons. We're not going there tonight. But it snaps pictures of drivers who race through red lights. They say that's the purpose of it. Offenders receive the mail and the ticket in the mail, along with a red light photo, visual proof of the traffic violation. Well, sometimes, you know, I believe that God, in the same way of that camera, he's up there waiting to catch me doing the wrong thing. While God does see our sin, he's watching over us. He also sees our sin. In Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He sees and he takes interest in our good deeds as well. He sees both. And because of his supernatural surveillance, his extra-dimensional capacity, God sees the size of our sacrifices also when we give money to the church or to those in need that come up to us late at night. Nobody else knows but you and that person. God sees it. He knows. He knows your heart. He knows what you're going to do. He just wants you to do it because you're given the opportunity. He knows already what you're going to do. And if he knew that you were not going to give anything, he'd still give the opportunity. That's evident in the Garden of Eden. He knew that they were going to disobey him. Then why would he put the Garden of Eden there in the first place? To give them the opportunity. So we can never say, Lord, you never give me the opportunity. Oh, yeah, I did. You know, he taught them the law, as it did. It mentioned about Abraham being taught the law, and he wrote it in stone to Moses. Mark 12:41-44. And Jesus said over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said to them, Verily, I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all she had, even all her living. Now, he hears our private prayers as well, Mark 6:6. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. I'm sorry, my mistake. Matthew 6:6, and the same thing works anyway. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So when we fast, we can carry on as usual, being sure that our Father sees in secret. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It keeps going. You know, knowing that God sees everything frees us from thinking about watchful eyes of others. We do what's right. We need no applause from onlookers. We like that acknowledgement, but it's really not important. It is when he thinks it is, though. When we sin, we don't need to carry or worry about our reputation once we settle the issue with God and anyone we've harmed, actually. He'll give that opportunity. You can rest knowing that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, how does he do that? I don't know how he does it, but he does. Holy Spirit is one way. Satan's going to try to copy it using technology. Huh. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You'll find that in 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Whoa. You see, he allows it. Well, you know, generational curses. Remember we talked about the baby boomers, or I guess I've talked about others with the baby boomers. The takedown of baby boomers really began about 1960s. 1945 was when the takedown of America was planned out and began to be orchestrated to focus on the baby boomers. And I suspect that the externalization of the hierarchy, which is planned in the year 2025, would be about the same time that baby boomers will be either old, dead, or already, or just too old to remember. So you figure 1950, 2025, put them about 70 years old, 80. Then you add in the cancer, you add in all the ways that, so they'd be all about dead. So they figure about the children of the baby boomers after the 1960s, Cultural Revolution, this was timed perfectly. Wow. Would start the new generation that Tavistock figured out in 1960s to lead us to the New World Order and takedown and falling away. See, you as baby boomers are taught what your parents were taught, sovereignty, family structure, blah, blah, blah. So your time of being an adult and starting to have children was 1975, 74, 73. And that's when the third phase of the New Age movement began. 1975. That puts you just about the time of being young adults and parents. Ready to go. The era of Shirley MacLaine saying, "I am God," period. And that same year, General Michael Aquino of the Pentagon, founder of the Temple of Set, worked at the Pentagon, still does, invoked the Prince of Darkness in 1975 at the beginning of the third phase of the New Age movement. So the 60s changed the music, brought drugs, everything changed in the 1960s. When you, as baby boomers, were like 8, 9, 10 years old, getting ready for high school, they had this time perfectly. Now, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? Well, China's got a lot of tea, that's why. You see, generational curses comes from the 60s. It's what is attacking children coming from the 60s, carried down, plus the secret societies and all that sort of thing. The colleges are there with the clubs adapting the sign of Satan and secret rituals and Woodstock and Weesock. You got it? Wow. You're hazing. All this is cursible. Oh, I think I just made that up. Anyway, it draws the demons to their cause, and unless deprogramming or breaking these curses are performed in the name of Jesus, they'll continue for generations, one each one, perpetrating the next one until it helps facilitate the falling away. You're all sort of catching on here how minutely that this is planned? You know, the obvious one is Skull and Bones. Their secret number, they're in the numerology, 322. What does that come from? Genesis 3:22, man to become as a god, knowing both good and evil, and living forever. It's obvious. It's exclusive. Same thing for fraternities and sororities. They have the signs, hand signs of Satan. The OK sign, 666, sign of the horn, double horns. That's Lucifer. Stick out your thumb. It's I love you. Helen Keller, family, she followed Blavatsky. She was a Satanist, Helen Keller was. Makes you wonder about her being blind, don't it? I'm not going there, but boy, that sure brings up a flag right quick, how Satan works. Almost forgot. Don't forget the Wiccan. They go after the downtrodden. They profile the ones that's being bullied. Easy marks. Those who suffer rejection, bullying, persecution of all types, abuse at home. It shows up in school. They identify them. And that's their end for possession. That's J.K. Rowling. She is a witch. I mean, literally. Why J.K. Rowling was so successful, she tapped into the helplessness of children in an adult-controlled world. And that book is accursed, just like the records that John Todd talks about. Now, you say this to people in the church who study the Bible. They know it's supernatural, but they know it, but they don't know it. And you start talking about these real things, they didn't think you'd gone bat crazy. And yet the Bible talks about demons. It talks about curses. It tells you four generations. It tells you a lot. And yet still, you start talking about demons. Supernatural. Oh, you're crazy, man. You're, I don't know. We got to pray for you. Who are you praying to? Who are you praying against? Well, Satan. And we're praying to God. When did you see Satan last? When you seen God ever? You mean they're both supernatural? Oh, okay. You see, it's got it all convoluted here. They're real. Demons are real, but so's God. And he's in control. But we pull away from him, he pulls away from us. We come back to him, he's there waiting. You know, here's college. What they got you doing? You can't get a job without college, boy. Can't get a job without a college. And the interviewers say, well, you have a college degree? No. Then someone else says, you got a college degree? Yes, I see McCumla Lotta. Who do you think is going to hire? So you got to get a college degree. And guess where they introduce them to Wicca then? Colleges. And the hand signs of Wicca, fraternities, sororities, college. Where they recruit to Illuminati College. Yeah, boy. They pay the best to go to college for recruiting of the Illuminati and the Wiccan. clubs, initiations, and sports. Boy Scouts, you got Order of the Era. That's higher than Eagle Scout. They take your young boys out there in the Order of the Era in some secretive initiations on the weekend or something. I know. Had a relative to go through it and said, I don't know about this. I said, no, about what? Or the Era. He got his Eagle Scout, but he said, I said, well, tell me about it. He said, well, okay, I'll tell you. It's Indian rituals they go through. And they actually cut blood brother kind of thing going on. And the family's a cult. It's shaman. And they give them little badges for all this stuff, too. You have Congress Banats. Congressman Banats is a former military and Eagle Scout. See there? How about that? Yeah, buddy. That's right. This is all part of the whole thing. This is what it's all about. See, I'm just now touching on some of the, you know, this has got a lot of head slapping going on here. Whoa, bam, I didn't know that, you know, that kind of thing. They're all part of the, here's the key word, humanist schools. All of them in the United States, 100%. And guess who created Boy Scouts? Freemasons did. You know, the hand signs attract the demons, and the ritual seals it. The drugs allow self-destruction, as the rock concerts are rituals. So is the Super Bowl halftime shows. So is the MTA/VA awards. Every single one of them are rituals. Remember, I always play the one in Jack Black where they give a prayer of the devil over 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 stars in one VMA awards. I can play it right. You can find a Jack Black satanic ritual. It's on TV. Katy Perry says she gave it to soul the devil. Melissa Ford says it's not worth it signing with the devil. They all do it. All of them. Or they don't make it in Hollywood, singing, dancing, or whatever. All of them. Dancing with the Stars. Oh, my baby got it. Great. And she goes to Nashville or Los Angeles. She gets a contract with Zodiac Press. Wonderful. Oh, it's so great. But what they don't tell them is the second contract literally is with Lucifer, or they won't make it nowhere. No matter what their talent is, it don't matter. They won't make it. They'll do little penny ante places here and there, like Debbie Gibson. She was very talented, but she was a born-again Christian and refused to do that. Dave Chappelle, he turned down a $60 million contract because of that. It is significant. And Maya Angelou, Eastern Star. Rory Rogers, Dell Evans. Yep, Del Evans, bonafide Eastern Star. Roy Rogers, Eastern Star. Artie Murphy, Eastern Star. Go ahead, make my day. Clint Eastwood, Freemason. That was what Empty Chair was all about. Every lodge has an empty chair. It's about invoking a demonic entity into it. That's symbolic of that. This UN. Chair 666 is empty, ritualistically. Well, actually, it's filled up when they do ritual for Sanat Kumara, which is Satan. He appears. I don't think people have any idea how involved this is. And you tell them, they have that trigger point, and they stop. I don't hear no more. You're crazy. You're just nuts. You want me to show you in the Bible? No, I don't want it. No, leave me alone. Just go away. They got that trigger point. They run. You know the young girl that is recently on one of the TV shows. 20 minutes or 60 minutes or 60 minutes or something like that, documentary, you know, all around, you know, college girl, good looking, really close to her parents, died of a drug overdose. Parents couldn't believe it. One mistake during a rock concert. Okay, so I started watching. I started looking at the documentary on her and pictures. And one of the pictures, sure enough, was her there with a double horn sign. And she's not from Texas. Teachers, nurses, into Wiccan. How significant that it is. This good girl, but notice that the hand sign of Satan, parents just don't know. The drugs are the final assault. The drugs open up portals. I've talked about that. The final assault is lack of knowledge about the Wiccan and Satan's devices to open up the portals. Parents aren't taught. The church has failed in their job. They will be judged. Satan is not only the prince of air, but he's a prince of the world. Ephesians 2, verse 2 to 3. Wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the prince that now worketh to the in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time, passed in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Take notes, CFR, take notes, Freemasons, what I just read of John 12:31. Knights of Malta, you guys. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And guess who will go with him? John 14:30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. John 16:11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now the devil may be in the details, but God sees the big picture. This thing of Wiccan versus witchcraft, it's all the same. They'll even argue that point with you. They'll even argue that point with you. How they get in your house? How they get in your lives? Because these are the problems today. People don't realize that. Is there something in your life or your home that invites in demonic spirits? You know, even today we allow so many ungodly things to enter our homes that our lives are affected by everything that's unholy and opening doors to rebellion, disobedience, promiscuity, the realm of the defiant evil spirits. But unfortunately, it's not only what we allow in our homes, but it's also what adults are modeling in today's Christian homes. TVs don't help anything at all. It's the worst. Things that keep us busy, tied down, tied up. Minds filled up with just nonsense, really. Many allow the violent movies and indecent entertainment, the video games that you even get points when you kill innocent civilians in the airport in some of these games. Telling small children to cover their eyes until the violent or decent episode is over. Indecent. One is done. Couples who constantly fight over this issue. Husband wants to see the violence and explicit videos, and the wife wants no part of it. Arguing in front of the kids makes them angry. Frustrated. They want them to stop, but they won't stop. They argue, fight with each other, but the kid just closes his eyes, his ears, don't want to hear anymore, but he can't put it out. It's there. He can't stop them. It's frustrating. It opens up a portal in that child. It opens up portals in that house. The demons are attracted to it because the emotion that's set forth is negative. It's like a magnet. So you destroy the families. Now, see what you got? I got meet my father, father. Here's my mother, mother. What? Yes. Family, that house is immediately cursed because of an abomination against God. A man and woman fighting all the time. Guys drunk, carrying on. They got a Ouija board in the house. Family, that house is cursed. They don't realize it. You got a Freemason taking a blood oath. He brings it to his family. He brings it to his home. They don't realize this. They just don't know, some of them. That's why they don't... That's why they don't tell them at the first 3 degrees. They don't tell them none of this. Now, if you just close your eyes, put a sock over your head, put your head under the pillow, maybe it'll just go away. But I don't think it will. There is no escape. But there's a remedy. You know what the remedy is, don't you? Covering yourself in the blood of Jesus and praying. Keeping sin out of your life. These are things I didn't know when I was young. Husband wants to see the violent and explicit videos, and the wife wants no part of it, but she watches Days of Our Lives. It's like a smorgasbord. The effects of tolerating and inviting ungodly stuff in your home may at first seem kind of subtle, as both adults and children demonstrate a little anger, a little pouting, and a little nagging, and a little impatience, being annoyed, rebellion a little bit here and there, a little disrespect here and there, a little lying and testing of the boundaries. Virginia, is there Santa Claus? Well, of course there's Santa Claus. Is that the truth? No, that's not an out lie. There ain't no Santa Claus. I lose my first little toothy. I lose my tooth. Well, then it was maybe a dime. Today it's a dollar you get to find in your pillow. It's went up, you know. Who brought it? The tooth fairy. Where'd my little brother come from? The stork, of course. The tooth fairy brought you some money. The stork brought you your brother. And you're having gifts from Santa Claus this coming Christmas. Now, that's as normal as it can get. It has some... That's some head slappers, isn't it? You understand what I mean by a head slapper, don't you? When you find out something like, wow, pop in your head, like, wow, I never thought about it that way. Satan is prince of this world. I still haven't got to the point that's really a major slap in the head. I'm getting there. But you know, as time goes by, it goes by from little to a lot. In between, and a lot of episodes of self-will emotional displays, children are involved. Family, it's getting worse. You heard, I don't want to talk about this too much, but I'm one of those that just now just not really want to think about it a lot, tell you the truth. About that 3-year-old that was beat, and the parents tied him upside down by his feet. Can you imagine? In Pennsylvania. Family, this is not even... something I can't explain it. It's just, it's demonic. Is all I can tell you. And even in a place called Winston-Salem, close by, the incident of where they found two skeletons in this guy's house. House was uninhabitable. And then it started showing pictures of his house. He had demonic figures painted all over the walls and so forth. This is recently. It's getting closer and closer to that time. People haven't seen any. This is nothing compared to what's. This is nothing. compared to what's coming. When God removes a protective hedge, oh boy, see. As designed, time goes by a little of episodes here and there. Well, children are involved. Today's parents are too busy by design. Herod to the deal with the attention and accountability. It's necessary to enforce the rules, keep a hand on the wheel. Tough love seems to be a thing of the past in a lot of families of this generation because the 1960s were planned this way. You see what happened? One of the greatest outcomes of all this permissiveness is a disintegration of the Christian home. Number one complaint to some authors and researchers from wives is that their husbands are having affairs or messing with pornography. The main complaint from the men is that their wives are controlling and manipulative, won't submit to even the most basic areas of respect and honor which the Word of God so wisely instructs the wife would heir to. Feminism has done its job. Taking men off the Adam role has done its job. Feminizing men, masculinizing, I think I made that up, women, mentally, psychologically, and physically. Certain GMO products has been having an effect on the men and women about their sexuality. And I don't have to tell you about transgender now, do I? And transgender male having a baby, transference of one womb, of one woman to another, having babies. Now getting ready to take the transgender male and having the womb transplanted into him at works. Oh, the Baphomet. And now you put a little microprocessors inside that body and you got yourself an abomination, as in the days of Noah. Boy, oh boy, are we close or what? The breaking up of the families is facilitate generational curses. You got it? That's what it's for. To break up the country, you got to break up the family structure. How many times have you heard me say this? Over and over and over. Now, you can sort of appreciate a little bit more about Ruth Bader Ginsburg's position. Her report to U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. The federal government should provide comprehensive child care. Get the children out of the home. The federal government should change the homestead law, provide double benefits to couples don't live together, to husband and wife who do live together. That was to split the families. Draft women in the military, assign them to combat duty, and apply affirmative action. To equalize the number of men and women, equal roles. That's eliminate the traditional feminine role. Whew, this goes deep, don't it? Eliminate the traditional family concept, she said. Husband is breadwinner, wife is homemaker, integrate all male, all female organizations now. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, fraternities, sororities. That was to eliminate traditional male roles. International rights of child, take the families out of the home and control it. This is all Satan's generational curse upon us. It's working. Men are having affairs, and women control the home. This is all by design, from Tavistock in London. Beginning when? In the 1960s. Using drugs to facilitate it. Rebellion. Anti-war demonstrations, all funded for this purpose. Wow. You know, these areas, pornography and manipulation are controlled by evil spirits to enhance the Jezebel spirit. spiritual cleansing and deliverance are absolutely necessary to be free of these demonic spirits that break up the homes and churches. And you know, Christians are involved in all this, in pornography, and couples manipulate each other, unaware of the lurking evil spirit behind the actions of manipulation. Too many religious women refuse to submit to their husbands, bossing them around, correcting everything they do and say. It upsets the home. It causes possession. And that, too, is a root of manipulation and control. People don't realize this. This is so paramount. But people aren't going to listen to you, though you try to tell them. They didn't think you'd gone crazy. You show them the evidence, they'll just get mad at you and shut the door. Any wonder why there's a tribulation coming? That's to wake them up, pull them out of the matrix. I'm going to hit you with what I found, and then I'm going to talk about some solutions. And we'll talk about this more next week. And Wednesday, I'm really going to hit it hard. Symbols attract demonic entities. Hand signs. It's like I'm one of your gang members, and the demons see this. That's why they do it when they're in TV, and you see them do a hand sign. They're saying, I'm really with Satan. When you see the politicians do it, we need to bring better standards, and they do the hand sign for Satan. Let's see, I'm telling you all this good stuff, but I'm really with Satan. That's how it works. Well, you got symbols, you've got Masonic symbols, you've got symbols of hex signs like tulips, unicorns, fertility signs, all this stuff, eight-pointed star, everything is involved in the effects of frequency vibration. You know, the square and the compass of the Freemasonry symbolizes the human reproductive organs locked in coitus. That's what that means. That's what that is. That is the baseball field, family, because a baseball game is Masonic logo on the field played to a sport that's a U.S. national sport. It was created by a Freemason. Oh, they really don't want you to know that. The baseball field is Masonic logo, the compass and the square, which is representation of a symbolizing the human reproductive organs. Really puts a whole new perspective of baseball, don't it? Locked in coitus. And everybody yells at it, participates, paints their faces up, and that's a ritual celebration every single baseball game. The Star of David is a hexagram, a powerful symbol to witches, sorcerers, and magicians. How come Hagee don't know this? Don't they promote the Star of David and the fake Israel? Boy, I tell you, God's going to bring some Roto-Rooter with him. Jesus is going to bring, man, he's going to clean out a whole lot of things when he gets here. Well, actually, before that. Symbols, the winged band of Mercury. Mercury, isn't that a car? Yeah, it sure is. Nike is the goddess of victory. The mobile winged horse, Pegasus, symbol of Mercury or Hermes. The fleur-de-lis are symbols of demonic origin as the Boy Scouts hand sign. It is the symbol on the New Orleans Saints helmet, the fleur-de-lis, and it's a symbol of the Merovingian bloodline, the queens of England and kings and so forth. Wow, man. Ooh, tell you what. Don't tell me Satan's not prince of this world. It's inclusive of all religions, and Christianity, inclusive as a pagan undercut. Jesus is not about Christianity. Jesus is about being a Christian who we follow Jesus. It's not about Christianity. Christianity is religion. You say, well, I'm a Christian anyway. Okay, well, I'll say, well, which sect are you of the 37,000? And what do y'all believe? They don't all believe the same thing. Well, here's what I found. It popped my eyes open. Toys. Christmas. Santa, S-A-N-T-A. Satan. Sanat Kumara, Satan Kumara. Whew, wow. And Jesus wasn't even born in December. Toys are believed to bring good luck. You know how good luck charm works? Because you believe it works. When you believe this good luck charm, the demons act to make sure you have good luck so you can hang on to it. And you trust that instead of the Holy Spirit. That's how that works. Same thing with horoscopes and all that nonsense. These symbols shows allegiance to the demons, and the demons make sure whatever it is they're causing stops or works or changes to give it power so you'll stay with it. That's how that works. A doll is a small carved or molded figure which serves as a cult object or representation of a nursery story, nursery rhyme, Walt Disney, you got it? Cartoon or some puppet character. Both World Book and Britannica point out that dolls were buried with people, were supposed to be friends and servants of the spirit world. And what about voodoo? Hey, it's a doll, isn't it? Stick you with a doll, and the demons that's around that person, if they're not protected, affects the body in accordance with how they stab the in the curse. Demons are making it happen. And when a person is protected by the Spirit of God, it goes back on the spellcasters. Now you know the reason the prayer I pray on occasion. Ancient times, the worship of idols included the offering of various types of sacrifices, libations, other acts of devotion, like kissing an image. Kissing an image. You ever seen that before in the Super Bowl? World Cup? They kiss the darn thing. People have no idea. Kneeling or dancing around it. Hat dance. Everybody, we won the World Cup. We won the pennant or whatever, I don't know what. We won the Super Bowl. Got that big old ball glass thing going on, whatever, I don't know. They all got to touch it, don't they? Pass it around. Oh my gosh. The making of any image of the God of Israel, despite the fact that arks and ephods and teraphims found their place in the religion of Israel, not a single figure of God has ever been recovered by archaeologists. The feature of Israel's religious sharply distinguishes it from that of the neighbors and contemporaries and profound attests to the fact that the true God is not a being whose personality can be adequately reflected in these products of human handicraft. Idolatry is a constant problem in ancient Israel. The symbol of Israel is the menorah, the candlesticks. You know, in Toledo, Ohio, there was some samples, instances I read about that wife was complaining to the husband about the child's insolence, and out of nowhere, he said that her problem are those stinking doll babies. It's witchcraft. So the next night, he was praying for someone's deliverance. He picked up encyclopedia to check out about dolls, and there it was, Origin of Witchcraft and Magic. What do you do? Now, I got a lot more to talk about on this thing. This is a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Tonight's just an hour. In breaking the curse, there's several different steps to take. Full surrender. The first thing to do is going to have to do is be willing to come into full surrender of you and your entire life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Completely. That's the first rule. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. James 4:7. Submit to God. Then you confess the sins of your sinning parent to God the Father, ever how many generations back. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, that also have walked contrary to me, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac, my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember. Leviticus 26:40-42. He wants us to know exactly why these demons are coming after you in the first place. Kind of like tongues. If I do babble, 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 lickety split, blah, 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 da-da-da-da-da, whatever. I don't know what the dickens I'm saying. Do you think God wants me to say stuff I don't even know what I'm talking about? No. Then, 3, be willing to forgive your sinning parent. You got to have forgiveness. For them, whoever it is, your great, 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 great-great-great-grandmother, your great-grandfather, your grandfather, your mother, whoever, you got to forgive them. Don't ever forget to forgive yourself also. But abuse in the families opens up a portal for the child. Oh, yeah. Now, understand, I'm just touching the subject tonight. Next week, I think I really need to cover this in detail, in more detail. Tonight is a practice. Number 4. Actually, Mark 11:25. Mark 11:25, very important. And you'll notice in the Bibles that are corrupted, they've removed a lot of the words and verses that are attributed to spiritual warfare. In Mark 11:25, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Clear as a bell. Number 4, break any ungodly soul ties with a sinning parent. Well, as a result of the natural parent-child relationship, this immediately develops when a child is born into the family. So, a strong spiritual bond will form between the child and the parent, even if one of both parents ends up abusing the child over a long period of time. So, that's why it's such a shock to the child's senses when they first start to receive any kind of extreme abuse from the sin-abusive parent. So, the first natural reaction is that must be something wrong with them, or that they must have done something wrong themselves, or to have this kind of treatment. So, it isn't until the child starts to get older, a little smarter, a little wiser, that they start to see the abusive and sinning parent for what they really are. That's why you hear about 16-year-olds and 21-year-olds that tells on the parent. They're out of that control. When a sinning abusive parent gets too far out of control, is doing something terrible or horrible to their children, then that's what the child must do, when they're old enough to understand, is to bring it up, to break any ungodly and unhealthy soul ties that may have formed earlier from the family of that sinning parent, to break the soul ties. So the sinning parent may be your natural parent by blood, but that doesn't mean you have to stay spiritually attached to this evil, sinning, dysfunctional parent. A soul tie, well, is any type of spiritual bonding that occurs between two people that's entered into a kind of a personal relationship of sort. It can happen between two spouses, two friends, two siblings, or between a parent and a child. They can be good and healthy. One like what occurs between two people who marry for true love. This is where the semen, this is where the juices are exchanged. Life is in the blood. You see how this works? Always really important. As I'm starting to understand things my own self. This is, you start seeing things when you get out of this world. You start seeing things that you didn't know before. It's like, wow, you know. But a soul tie can also be bad. It's where the relationship becomes dysfunctional when one of the persons become the dominant and abusive one in this relationship, whatever it may be. What happens is that when one person is abused, dominated by the other, well, an unhealthy soul tie develops, opens up portals, and demons will move in and feed off this unhealthy soul tie that could develop. It's where battle prayers come in. Forgiveness. Then you break the curse line of the demon. Once you've properly completed what we've talked about so far, then you'll be ready to fully break the generational curse that the demon's been feeding on and operating. And then when you do that, you clean the house out. Now, people that don't understand this, whether it's a child and knows about this, the parents are going to think the child's crazy, or if the parent knows about this, the children are going to say, man, mom's gone off the deep end. Don't matter. Those demons are there. You can't see them, but they're there. You got to chase them out, literally. Like you got rats in your house. It's a battle prayer. Each room. Because there's demons there you can't see. Now, some people see them. Shadow people. The tall person, the top hat. The strong man. And then, verbally command the demon to leave you in the name of Jesus Christ. Not Yeshua, not Jeshua, not some Yahweh, Yahuwah, whatever, I don't know what. And that's why they want to start to go back to the Hebrew Roots movement. So you have no power in the name of Jesus. You start using different names. It's important. Once the curse line has been broken, the demons will have nothing left to be able to hold on to. And you'll now be able to verbally engage with them. If they're from the second heaven, powerful ones, don't be messing around till you're fasted and born and prayed up. It's important. The second heaven fallen angels are powerful. Now, if you try and verbally command the demons to leave you without completing these steps I've told you about, you're going to get hurt. It's going to increase it. You want to make sure their legal rights will not have properly, if not been broken. If they've been broken, they won't leave if they've not been broken. They just make them matter. You got to do those steps. And I'll say them again. First thing you got to do is the full surrender to God through Jesus Christ. Then you confess the sins of the sinning parent to God the Father through Jesus. Be willing to fully forgive your sinning parent. There's your forgiveness. Break any ungodly soul ties with the sinning parent, spiritual soul ties. Then you break the curse line of the demons, and then verbally command the demons to leave you in the name of Jesus Christ, and command them to leave your house. Every room you go through, like you're chasing out rats. If anybody's there, you're going to chase them out too, because they're going to think you're done gone crazy. But in reality, you're dealing with a demonic realm that they may not even know about. This is real. And putting oil, praying to oil and putting it in different places. Wild stuff, isn't it? Who'd ever thought the toys? Now they got Toy Story. Movies about toys. Now you know. Oh boy. I tell you what. Recognize the curse. Break the curse. give your life to Jesus. The blood of Jesus removes the sin. Fight the battle with spiritual weapons like the Word of God, the armor of God that we've talked about. Then regain control over the power of your will. When Jesus shed his blood, he brought back our willpower. Through the blood of Jesus, we can say no. Reverse the curse. Also, you know, there's reversing the curse. There's three keys you can use to reverse the curse and live in victory. First one is to recognize your enemy, because you'll battle not with flesh and blood. Your enemy is Satan. The battle is spiritual. Two is forgive people who've hurt you. Treat causes and symptoms, insecurity, jealousy, fear, lust, anger, unforgiveness, those kind of things. Then you release the power of love to become people whose lives are transformed by the love of God. Develop a godly attitude to walk the walk and talk the talk. Align your words with God's words. Sometimes we let things slip. If you're certainly used to talking profanity, whatever, sometimes it slips out. Let me tell you. Accept God's acceptance. He didn't come to condemn us. He came here in hope that our lives would eventually be different. And walk in obedience to him. Help strengthen your prayers. If you're not in obedience, he won't answer your prayers. Now, family, this is a short story. I just barely touched upon it. Barely touched upon it. You know when Freemasons take the initial vows? They, in fact, speak several curses over their chest, stomach, declaring that if they violate these vows, terrible things are going to happen to their parts of the bodies. And these curses can and do cause problems for the descendants of that area. It destroys their marriages and their children go haywire. Just praise God that they can be broken by commanding the curses to be broken in the name of Jesus. But they don't know that. They're tied up. Their minds are boggled by their position of power and so forth. They don't see it. Some people have, but not many anymore. But there have been some that have gotten out of the Masons. You're then likely to feel pressure being lifted off of you. It's a freedom you just can't imagine until you have taken it off. Family, we've just barely scratched the surface tonight. Barely. But I've given you some kind of idea. And this has been recorded, so if you want to go back to it, then it should be there. And the Freemasons have to go through a special process of breaking those soul ties and breaking the curse. It's quite a few steps they got to take, or they ain't going to make it. That's why they have troubles already. You'll find this out. If you've talked to any, they've had family troubles of some kind or whatever, this is the purpose of it. Children are being influenced to really accept demons because of fantasy, imagination or fancy, especially wild visionary fancies, unreal mental image, illusions and phantasm. A weird notion or a caprice or a whim, an imaginative poem or a play or psychology, a mental image of as in a daydream. Fairy tales, subliminal music, Walt Disney movies, dolls having a cult linkage, most all of them, Smurfs, Star Wars, it is everywhere. Rainbow Bright and Stripes, herself the elf, crossbows, catapults, masters of the universe. Boy, board games? Oh my gosh. Look at the board games, the summary of toys. Whew. Artifacts, idols, Satan's prince of this world, let me tell you what. But he ain't king. Cleaning the house. Forgive your ancestors, descendants, and others. And ask God to forgive and bless you. Ask God to forgive you. You forgive yourself for sins against your body. Another way is breaking curses and soul ties from others and to others. Break curses or psychic or Catholic prayers. Clean out the house of those objects or exorcise objects you don't own. Anoint the house with oil. Oh yeah, it works too. Drive the evil spirits out of the house and cast demons out of people and it came in through the curses of these objects. See, it's not just something just blowing the wind. This happens. There are certain prayers about the objects, about breaking the soul ties, about cursed objects, demon infestation. It happens. It's there. And family, we are too. We're right there. It's about that time. That went by very quickly. That's a lot to be talking about. I've got like 20 things we'll talk about next week about weapons of warfare. Quite a few. You got quite a few weapons in spiritual warfare that we can talk about next week. We'll get in more detail next week on spiritual warfare. Friend, this is what's going on today. This is the problem. Like 20 different concepts of spiritual warfare. We'll talk about next week. Y'all have a good night. And I'll let you remind you that I broadcast in weapons, I broadcast in Bible studies are played up in highpointradio.net, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, plays us randomly on highpointradio.net, and he's got sponsors up there. And if you live in those three states, then look up his website, highpointradio.net, and they'll be playing our broadcast. But you also check out his sponsors and use them if you have to, if you need to use any of his services. Helps keep him in business there. For me, he just plays our broadcast and Bible studies. So let's conclude tonight, and we'll see you all next week. Lord, thank you tonight. Bring us together, Father, that in this Bible study, Father, to teach us how to fight this evil, to keep us, deliver us from this evil, deliver us from temptations. And, Father, we know that you're not going to give us anything more than we can handle. And, Lord, give us that strength, the discipline, Father, that and the confirmations we need sometimes, Lord, that Father, we have that strength to fight back, and you're right there with us. Lord, give us the words to speak to others as we help them. And, Father, to strengthen our prayers. Father, we pray that next week we'll be protected, that, Father, we can spread the gospel to others all next week in this network. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, I'm going to we're going to go now. You know, Don Francisco, he's alive, was the one who created this song. And Dolly Parton went the way of the promoting the homosexual marriages. And I just can't play her songs anymore. It's just the way it is. I don't know why they do this. I just don't understand it. Anyway. I mean, I'm learning things, too, as I go along, and I quit reading horoscopes. I don't read fortune cookies. I ate the cookie, but I ain't got the point to eat that anymore. But I don't look at horoscopes. I used to read them and say, oh, that's cute, you know. But I don't do that anymore. I don't even touch them. I don't need to. Little by little. But Jesus Christ is alive, and he's coming back. When? That's his time. For us, we keep spreading the gospel. Y'all have a good night, and God bless, and have a great weekend. This is your Watchman, signing off.
every day.